Hey everyone, Wes Reuter at Refresh from the Sonic Video Podcast. The last interview with Christopher Earnshaw, we noticed that there was a little bit of a hiccup in there, and we just wanted to correct that. So that had to do with the Doomsday Book reference in the first 10-15 minutes of the episode. So here's the correction here with Christopher Earnshaw. Brother Earnshaw, there was a little hiccup.
Yeah, that's right.
What was that, so, the explanation?
You asked me about the Doomsday Book. It has one of these great names, you know, rather like the Illuminati is just a great name for a German organization to use a Latin name. The Doomsday Book has nothing to do with doom, like doom meaning the end of the world or annihilation. It's an old English word to do with judgment or final decisions. And in reality, put it into context, in 1066, William the Conqueror invaded England. He came from France. His family were actually Vikings. The Vikings had invaded the north of France and settled there. And now the Vikings were attacking northeast England. William the Conqueror took advantage and attacked England and conquered the land. That was 1066. And after that, he really wanted to know what he had. So he wanted to know the extent of the country, who the major landowners were, and how much they were earning. Obviously, he wanted to tax them. He made a survey of the country. It's rather like the first ever census. It wasn't 100% because a lot of monasteries and other rich people were hiding their wealth. But anyway, he got a good understanding and he wrote it down. More than one person went out to do the survey. Dozens and dozens of people went out. They wrote up their report. It was bound into a book. In fact, two books. So the Doomsday Book is two. Doom isn't spelt D-O-O-M. It's actually spelt like King's Dome in Seattle. It's D-O-M-E. Pronounced Doom, but it's not spelt Doom. And in fact, now you can see it online. If you go to Open Doomsday, if you put that into Google, you can see the original document. It's all written in Latin, so it's very difficult to understand. There's a lot of abbreviations and things. So one of the things to understand is in those days, all land was owned by the king. He owned the whole country. And it's rather like China, present-day China, all land is owned by the government. The king owned all the land, and the lords and barons that were farming, making cash crops and things like this, they were holding the land for the king. And that's where we get the word tenant from, because tenant is French for holding. So they were holding land in the name of the king. And they were just tenants. The result of the Doomsday Book is that we can find out now by reading it the size and scale of the country was. There were about 250,000 households, 250 or 260,000 households. And therefore, they thought that there's going to be five people per household. And therefore, the population of England at that time was 1.2 million people. Another outcome of this was they also realized that a lot of people were in bondage. They were bonded slaves. And from that time onwards, slavery abolished in England. It wasn't completely abolished until about the 1200s. This is the beginning of the end of slavery. And a lot of the slaves were actually English people who were sent abroad to be slaves. We weren't importing slaves. We were sending them to Italy and other countries, English peasants, to be slaves. The new king, King William, put a stop to that. So that's roughly what Doomsday Book is all about. And it's the beginning of the House of Normans. So we have about eight Normans, the Plantagenets, the Tudors, Lancastrians, the Stuarts, the Windsors, etc. Yes.
Very, very interesting. Now, your first reference in the original video, that
yes,
was to
right.
the Magna Carta?
Magna Carta, which was about 150 years later. So that would make it about 1210 or 1215 or something like that. And that was a different king. That was King John. He was being threatened by landowners, 25 barons, and he got them together at a place called Runnymede, which is just outside Windsor Castle, which is quite close to London. He got them to agree to a new, I suppose, sort of constitution. It defined how the king would tax these barons and what rights they had. And so we think that the Magna Carta, which is now over 800 years old, you know, it's one of the prime documents that forms the British constitution, because we don't have a written constitution. We have two or three documents that together we call a constitution. There was the Magna Carta and the Bill of Rights and things like that.
Yeah, it's my understanding. Now, the Constitution was also based off of the Magna Carta, or used as a template, I should say. That was something interesting I didn't know. I mean, we're not taught that in schools. At least if we were taught that in school, it was something that just went over my head. So
yeah.
Very interesting stuff. I hope that clears everything up for everybody, and I hope everybody is satisfied with the clarification. So we wanted to make sure that we got the right information out there to the audience. So everyone, thank you for watching, and we'll be back with more.
Thank you very much.